morning. See you this morning. Thank you for praying for myself and my wife. My wife will be here for the morning service, but her surgery went well and she's recovering good, so thank you for that. And so Monday morning I threw my back out. Monday night she was in the emergency room and had emergency gallbladder surgery early Tuesday morning, and then she came home Tuesday night. Wednesday, we're both standing in the kitchen and trying to get something to eat and just be in there. And she has some grapes, and this grape rolled off the plate and hit the floor. And we looked at each other and said, Emily will get that when she gets home. So we've been a sight around our house. I'll tell you what. But I'm glad to be out this morning. Glad to see you all out this morning. This morning, if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to continue on with our spiritual gifts here, and we're going to finish up this morning with those temporary sign gifts, and then get into one of the gifts that we have for us today. And so we'll be looking at those. We're going to move right along this morning. I know we want to get done a little bit early just to get time to get ready for the morning service. You know, people are expecting some visitors today and stuff, and so I'll try to get done in a timely manner here, but still not rush things. So, excuse me. So we're going to be looking at, the last time we were together and looking at the spiritual gifts, we looked at tongues, and we looked at what the tongues movement is, but what the biblical reason for tongues were, and the fact that they did pass away, and that there isn't tongue speaking today. We looked at the guidelines for when tongues was used during Bible times, and we looked at all that. And one of the things that did come out was there a gift for the interpretation of tongues? There was an interpretation of tongues. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse number 13, it says this: "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time here this morning. Thank you for the wonderful day that you have given to us, and this day that we can celebrate and just rejoice at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And Father, this morning as we do continue on with our study here, pray that you would just guide our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, and Lord, just help us to just have a true and a clear understanding of these things, Father. Thank you for the works that you have done, and Lord, thank you for the things that you're doing today in our midst. And Father, we just thank you for all that you've done. We have our time here this morning. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we saw these verses before when we looked at this, and it was talking about the fact that there should be one that would interpret, because if there's nobody to interpret, then nobody's going to really understand what's going on. And in chapter 14, in verse number 27, it says, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret." Remember, we looked at this. If anybody was going to use tongues, they were to do it one at a time. There should be two or three, and there always had to be an interpreter. In verse 28, it says, "But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." So we understood that as when we were looking at the tongues. But there was this gift of interpretation of the tongues and to be able to interpret those things. And so we definitely see that, and we see that was used. The gift can be used in one of two ways. To interpret one's own tongue speaking, as we saw in chapter 14, verse 13, or to interpret another's. Two interpretations should not be given at the same time in a meeting. That's what verses 29 to 32 talk about. So if there was one person that was, or two people that were speaking in tongues, and then somebody stood up to interpret, if somebody else stood up to interpret, they ought to match what was being said, you know. There wouldn't be conflicting things. Now remember, this was during the time when tongues was being used. We already looked at the fact that it passed away, but I wanted to address this before we moved on. So there should be the interpreter was there to help to define and to tell what was being said. So there was that gift as well. So there was tongues, there was interpretation of tongues. And the last one we see for those sign gifts, those gifts that would pass away, is the gift of knowledge. If you look at chapter 12, in verse number 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says this, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now if you come over to chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." So you notice here that we see knowledge is one of those gifts that it talks about it's going to be phased out, it's going to pass away. But we did see also that wisdom was mentioned. And wisdom is a gift that is used today. So we're going to look at knowledge, we're going to look at that real quickly, and the fact that that did pass away, and then we're going to jump right into wisdom, and we're going to see wisdom. How many of you just are happy that there is that wisdom today? You know, there's different kinds of wisdom, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But, wisdom, and to be able to ask God for wisdom is a great benefit for us in the days that we're living in. But the gift of knowledge, some have said that the gift of knowledge is the ability to have a special revelation about healing, about things like that and stuff. But in the scriptures, whenever the knowledge is talked about, and it's talked about in five different portions of scripture, we saw 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14, 6, 2 Corinthians 8, 7. These are all places where knowledge is mentioned. But never in them is it mentioned in anything to do with healing or anything like that. It is really just the supernatural ability to receive an oral revelation concerning the person of God, or the ability to receive a written revelation to be added as part of the New Testament. Remember, they didn't have the completed scriptures, so God was speaking to people in different ways and using these sign gifts at different times and allowing the scriptures to be put together till we get to the point of having the completed scriptures. And then those gifts weren't needed anymore. And so knowledge was one of those, and it was being able to impart and be able to tell those things that was just a special revelation from God at the time. But that was the knowledge one. Now we're going to look at wisdom. We looked at the seven temporary sign gifts. We took a look at all of those. Now we're going to get into the gifts that are for us for today. Oh, yeah, I want to ask this. I know a number of you have taken that spiritual gifts test that the pastor sent out. Hey, can I just see hands again? How many have taken that test? Okay, I want to try to get it in paper form, so you don't have to do it electronically. For those that don't want to do it electronically, how many would be interested in that? Oh, perfect. Okay, hang on. Keep your hands up, please. Okay, cool. 22, 23, 24, 25. Let's say 25. Let's say 30. How many did you have up there? So I know some of you have done it electronically, some of you aren't going to do it electronically and everything, and so we do want to get it in paper form as well, and so I was talking to the pastor about it this morning. He says, see if you can get a head count as far as how many would like to have it in paper form, so we'll get those ordered up and be able to do that. And before we're all done with this study, we'll look at the test, and we'll look at it, and if anybody has any questions about it, we'll be able to help with that and such, but just to give you an idea of where your strong points are and just where, some of the things that God has just laid on you and been able to, and has for you to use. And remember, the purpose of the gifts is really to edify and to work together that we might have a complete and a unified body here together. So we've all got different gifts, we've all got different strengths, we've got different things, and we use those together to make a complete, strong, unified body of Christ here at Granite State. All right, so we're going to look at the gift of wisdom, and we're going to look at that in detail this morning. If we have time, we'll move on to another one, but I want to spend a little bit of time here. In chapter 12, in verse number 8, again, we saw that when I read that verse just a moment again. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." So we know that wisdom is a gift that is given. And we do know that there are probably about four different kinds of wisdom. There's a natural wisdom, just a wisdom that people have, Some people would call that I say common sense. Okay? Now let me ask you this. Have you ever known anybody that was very wise but did not have a lot of common sense? I mean, it is possible, right? I mean, it is possible. We do see that. And there is this natural wisdom. It's just things that are in us that when it's explained or when we think about it, we just come to a reasonable determination with that. And a great example of that we find in Acts chapter 5. If you turn over to Acts chapter 5, the event that's taking place here is the apostles have been arrested. They've been commanded not to preach and teach in Jesus' name. And all this has been done. They've been thrown into prison. But then the angel comes, releases them, tells them to go to the temple to continue to preach, to continue to teach and such. And there's this uprising about what they're going to do with these men that are sharing the gospel. And in Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 33. Acts 5:33. When they heard that, they were cut to their heart. Now, let me back up just a little bit, just so we get the context here. The God of our fathers, verse 30, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Peter's addressing the Pharisees here, and these ones, the Sanhedrin. He says here, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So he's commanded that they be removed. Remove these guys, we need to talk, is basically what he's saying to them here. And he says here, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Now remember, they didn't like what they said, and so immediately they want them killed. And they're talking about how they can put these apostles to death. Gamaliel steps up and he goes, put the apostles out, get them out of here, we need to talk. And he says, now let's look at this man. He says, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. So remember this other guy? He came up, he got a following, but then he was put to death, and then his following just dispersed and they were gone, and nothing ever came of it. Remember that guy. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So he gives another example of the same thing. He says, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. So, I mean, think about that. You know, if this is nothing, just leave them be. Eventually these guys are going to die off. The people that are following them are going to scatter abroad. The whole thing's going to come to nothing. But if these men are of God, we don't want to fight against it. Okay? That's what we would call common sense. You know? Yeah. You know, we don't want to fight against these men. And if it is nothing, it will fall away. It will come to nothing. But that verse 39, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And you know, that's some wisdom. That's some common sense wisdom. That's some, hey, yeah, you know, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about what they've seen already. And he's applying that natural wisdom, that common sense wisdom that is in a lot of people. Another wisdom that we see is the wisdom that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's more of a worldly wisdom. And in fact, we're cautioned about this in the scriptures, that in the last days and in the end times, that which is good will be called evil, and that which is evil will be called good. Men will wax worse and worse, you know, and we see those warnings that are given, and we are living in that time. You know, how in the world can some of the things that are happening today be happening? What are people thinking? You know, we think that way. We say, how could they possibly approve these abortions? How could they possibly approve these things? And we see, it just seems like evil is advancing, these things are happening. And the thing is, when we hear them talk and when we hear them try to defend their positions, we think, where in the world are they getting this from? It's a worldly wisdom. It's an evil wisdom. Their minds have been corrupted by evil things and such. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse number 17, and I'm going to read quite a few verses here. But just as we read through this, just kind of let your mind dwell on the premise of worldly wisdom and kind of wrong thinking. In verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." So Paul recognizes here that he could talk in such a way that he could convince people, but then what good would it do? You know, he's not looking to trick people into salvation. He wants them to understand the gospel clearly and of a ready mind accept that. He says in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Now think about that think about this from a worldly standpoint, worldly wisdom, okay? He says in verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And he has, hasn't he? I mean, have you ever had the opportunity to listen to any of these, not the religion Christian Science, but Christian scientists? Have you ever, when they talk about creation, when they talk about what this world shows us to show us that creation is true, you know, when they talk about just the things that we see from a science standpoint and how it goes hand in hand with the Bible? It's an amazing thing to listen to these ones. There's different ones that have done this. There's answers in Genesis. There's different ones. And I love listening to those things because I love being able to see that. You know, could evolution be possible in some of the things of nature that we see? You know, of course not. You know, a woodpecker would not be able to peck away at those trees if it was part of evolution, because how would these things evolve to that point? I mean, he would either snap his neck or break his beak before that part ever evolved to what it needed to do. You know what I mean? And there's just all these things that just say, you know, it can't be evolution. It has to be a creator. There has to be a perfect designer in these things. And, you know, when we look at our universe and such, you know, when they were getting ready to land man on the moon, they were preparing him because they knew that the moon had dust on it. And they knew that if the Earth was millions and millions and millions of years old, that dust was going to be very thick. And they prepared those astronauts for when they stepped out of that spaceship and they stepped onto the moon, that they were going to be dealing with feet worth of dust. And you remember from the pictures that there was only like this much. Well, there should have been much more than that, shouldn't there? Yeah. You know, we know that the sun, every year the sun is shrinking to a certain degree, you know. And it's been proven and everything. Now you take the degree that the sun has been shrinking and you reverse that and do the millions and billions of years, there would be no Earth, because it would just encompass the orbit of the Earth, you know. So how can we live on an Earth that's only, you know, basically 10,000 years old, and the world is saying it's millions and billions of years, but yet when you share these things, they just dismiss it, you know, they want nothing to do with it. Well, here we're seeing in these verses, where is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what these verses are saying? Basically, man got too smart for God. Do you understand that? I don't mean that man got smarter than God. When people do not want to recognize God, they have to cling to something. So you take, this world was created by God in 6 days. I refuse to believe it. Okay, then where did it come from? Well, we evolved. We came out of the ocean. And then we eventually grew legs. And then we start thinking, wow, and do you understand it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation? It really does. And so, then how in the world can you come up with that? Well, we've got to understand, not fully understand, but you've got to understand the fact that when someone doesn't want to believe what God says, they've got to come up with a different thing, no matter how crazy it may seem. Okay? So, that's what we're dealing with here in these verses. That's what he's getting into. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Look at this. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Have you ever had a conversation with some of these science-type people, and these ones that believe anything but God? And have you ever had a conversation with them where they get a little upset? Now, let me ask you, I'm not talking about being passionate, but we might get a little loud, but we're passionate about what we believe and such. But are you ever upset? You know, I might be a little upset. In fact, you can't get through them. But you know, are you upset when you state a Bible truth, and the person that is founded in this world's wisdom can't answer that? They become angry. When we state a Bible truth and say the Bible says, they can dispute it with us, but we don't get angry. We just say, you know, I know what's true. I know what it is, you know. We don't get mad at it, you know. They get angry and they get mad because they what they're basing it on is their own wisdom, their own knowledge, their own things, you know, their own experiences and such. And we're going, what the Bible says. You know, we have that peace. We have a calmness about it. We have an understanding that, you know, we're right. You know, we're right, and eventually you're going to figure it out someday. You'll see. You know, but we don't have to be angry about it. We really don't. We just state the truth, and that's it. And here in these verses, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know? I know what God has created. I know what he has done. I absolutely believe it. You're not going to change my mind on it. And there's a peace that comes with that. There's a peace for us as believers to be able to say, thus saith the word. Thus saith the Lord. You know, I can go back to the scriptures and this is what it says. You know, so we have that. So we see here in these verses, there's a comparison here to godly wisdom, but it brings out the worldly wisdom, just the craziness of the thoughts of the worldly wisdom. In James chapter 1, if you want to turn over there, James chapter 1 and verse number 5, probably a verse that you were thinking about as we even got started here this morning. But in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What better place, what better person to go to when we need wisdom than the Creator of all things, the Savior of our souls, the one that has created everything, the one that has given us his perfect word? Let me ask you this. As you first get saved and you start reading the word of God, you're going to come across passages of Scripture where you're just going to be like, I believe it. I know it's the Word of God. I believe it. I just don't quite understand it. But then you go along in your Christian life and you're growing and you're learning and you're understanding. And you come across that portion of Scripture again and you understand it. Mm-hmm. You think, wow, I remember that. And I get what that's saying now. I get what that means now. We're gaining in wisdom. We're gaining in knowledge. We're gaining in understanding. And we're growing spiritually. And we're getting that wisdom that's from God. And it's such a blessing to us in this day and age that if we lack wisdom, if we come upon something that we're not sure what to do, we can take it to the Lord and we can trust that he's going to give us an answer and he's going to help us through that. That's wisdom that comes from God. It's godly wisdom that he imparts to us. We can find that wisdom by searching the scriptures. We can find, we may not find it spelled out specifically in words, but we can certainly find principles and characteristics to make those decisions on, you know. When I was praying about getting married and praying about a family and praying about those things, nowhere in scripture did I find that I was supposed to marry Becky. There were a lot of Rebeccas there, but I just wasn't. But I knew from Scripture what I should be looking for in a wife. You understand? So I, you know, I can't think of verses that told me to marry Becky, but I can think of verses that told me what to look for in a godly woman. Okay? So the Bible gives us, God gives us those things and gives us that wisdom and allows us to learn those things. And if we have, if we come to a situation in our lives and there's a decision to be made and we just don't feel that we have the wisdom to do so, we have this promise from God. If we lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, we can take it to the Lord. We can ask him. We can seek him. And we know that we'll get an answer from him. Now, what we have to do is we have to be willing to accept the answer that he gives us. You know, because how many of you, and don't raise your hands, but how many of you have prayed for God to answer a prayer request, but you've prayed more in a specific direction than just to let God's will be done, you know? And there are times when God just says, no, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to head down this path. And sometimes it may be something that in ourselves we want to do, but we just have to trust in God's leading. We have to trust in what God is telling us. I remember when I graduated from Bible school, I was looking to become a pastor, and the first church that I went to candidate at, it was in northern Maine, and I went up there, and we had a good meeting, and it was just a good weekend together with them and everything, and then I went back to Virginia, and I was praying about it, they were praying about it and everything, and I just could not get peace about it. Now, here I am, I'm ready to go, I want to preach, I'm going to be a pastor, and here we go. Well, they call me, and they say, well, we had a vote of the church, and we want you to come, and the vote is 100%. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I said, let me get back to you. Which is, to them, I'm sure was not the greatest thing they wanted to hear. But I just needed to, I was like, you know, this is everything that I want to do. Here it is. But I just didn't get peace about it. I just could not get peace about it. And so I hung up the phone. I told him, give me an hour. And I just talked to my wife a little bit. And I prayed and I prayed. And I called him back and I said, you know, I appreciate that. You know, we really appreciate the time that we were with you folks. I said, but God just is not giving me peace on this. I just cannot come. And they didn't like that. They were a little upset at that, actually. And I actually ended up spending almost another full year in Virginia. I did pulpit supply and different things like that and everything. But then God finally, he opened up a church in the western side of Maine, in the mountains there. And we went there and I candidated and did the whole thing. Went back to Virginia, we're praying about it and everything. And I remember one morning, I was having my quiet time and I'm just reading the Bible and I'm praying. And God just gave me this perfect peace. And he was like, that's where you're going. And he gave me that before I ever got the phone call. And I come out of the bedroom and I said to my wife, I go, we are going to this town. The name of the town was Bryant Pond. I said, we are going to Bryant Pond. And she goes, did they call you? And I said, nope. I said, well, we're going. And so they called and they were like, hey, we want you to come. We voted. And it actually wasn't 100%, but it was close enough that they were confident enough to have me come. And we did. We just packed everything up and away we went. And it was just a wonderful time for you. You know, so sometimes God says no when we're saying yes, 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 you know, but we have to be willing to hear that and accept that wisdom and accept that direction from him. So that if you want to use the word, that sanctifying wisdom, that wisdom that comes from growth and from time spent with the Lord and such like that we see in James chapter 1. If you go over to James chapter 3, this is where we see actually the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom is really a supernatural ability to correctly and concisely apply spiritual principles to contemporary problems. Have you ever spoken with somebody and you're sharing with them something that's going on in your life and they can just drop a verse on it? They can just bring a spiritual application to it without even really trying, that's what we're talking about here, you know? A lot of pastors would have this ability, you know, would have this wisdom and such. But I want you to see something here. In James chapter 3, in verse number 13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Those that have the gift of wisdom don't brag about it. Actually, I can say this. For all the gifts, we shouldn't be bragging about any of them, to be honest with you. You know, God's given us that ability. He wants us to use that ability. But it's all from him, and we need to know that, okay? But here, he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So if your wisdom, if the wisdom that you have brings about bitter envyings and strife, things like that, that's not godly wisdom. Okay? So you might be smart, but you're not, you don't have that godly wisdom. But watch this. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Now look at this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know that wisdom that is from God is pure. It's not hypocritical. It's not boasting or braggartly. Doesn't puff itself up, you know what I'm saying? That wisdom that's from God is just wisdom from God to apply spiritual principles to contemporary and just the things that we're going through in life, and just be able to have a spiritual understanding of it. And it's peaceable. It's gentle. Easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Isn't it wonderful how when we see these gifts that are given from God, it's always surrounded with words like this. Merciful and gracious and kind and wonderful. And just, it's always good. When we see the earthly side of it or the worldly side of it, there's always contention and strife and argument and most of, you know. And so we see this gift of wisdom, this ability to use the scripture correctly and apply correct scripture to correct situations of life and such. It is a gift that we see today. And there are those that possess that just have that ability to be wise and to use godly wisdom in dealing with situations that are current and that are things that are going through today. So this gift of wisdom, and I am going to stop right there because we're going to have to get going here for the morning service and whatnot, but I wanted to hit knowledge and wisdom together in the same lesson, because we do see clearly from Scripture that knowledge will pass away, but wisdom will continue. And what is that difference, you know? But we saw the knowledge was in being able to put those principles into God's Word, you know, and be able to, before the completed Scriptures. Now with wisdom, we see using the completed Scriptures to make good decisions and to be able to use godly wisdom in dealing with situations that we face today. And so wisdom. Now get this, okay? If you really mess up or you do something that's kind of, should I say foolish or something like that, it doesn't mean that we're not wise. We still make mistakes. We still make mistakes, but we learn from those mistakes, you know? We're not just making the same mistakes over and over again, you know? So we all, to some degree, have wisdom, you know? But then some of us, you know, we work a little bit harder at it or whatever, but we do have that, and we do have that ability to use that. And so, you know, searching the Scriptures and asking God. Remember, James 1:5 there, that if any man lack wisdom, ask of God, he giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's go to the author. Where else would we go? Let's go to the one. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, I know that I moved quickly through it. I pray that you'd give understanding with this. And Father, just help us to learn from these lessons and learn from your word. Father, we just thank you for it. Thank you for guiding us, leading us. Thank you for what you have given us, that we can use it together, that we can make a complete body here for your honor, for your glory, and for the edifying of one another. Lord, we know that that's what the gifts are for. And Father, just thank you for how you have moved and what you have done. Father, I pray for the morning service this morning, that, Lord, your will would be done and that you would just touch our hearts today. Thank you for this, what a special day this is for us, Lord, as believers. In Jesus' name, amen.